seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the 33rd chapter of Exodus and reading especially the 19th verse. The book of Exodus, chapter 33, and reading verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. In the previous verse we read, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And one is reminded of the word that we find, I think it is in the 84th Psalm, that the Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And this was then the answer of the Lord to Moses. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now, as you look back, some of you, especially some of you, or some of us who are older, you may well say that this word has been fulfilled. And yet, whatever stage we are in life, still we need his goodness to pass before us. We know that God's goodness and mercy is shown to all mankind in a general sense. But here, this word was particularly to his ancient people. And some of you will remember the setting of this chapter, the previous chapter and so on, when Moses had come down from the mount and had seen the idolatry that the people had turned to. And Moses was angry. And the Lord himself was very displeased indeed that he said, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people, and so on. Now therefore let me alone, that I may wrath, that my wrath may wax hold upon against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Moses besought the Lord and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hold against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? And we read in verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto Moses. So Moses, we feel really, is a type, as it were, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He interceded for the people. Christ intercedes for his people. And later on, as we read the word, that it came to pass that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now I go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And he said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. The Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I wait, I will visit their sin upon them. The Lord was determined that his people, the angel, would go before them. We have the word angel, capital letter, signifying, we believe, the Lord Jesus Christ going before them. And I believe we can say so in this verse here, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. That is, the Lord will go before his people. And also to notice, and perhaps sometimes we notice things we've never noticed before when we read the Word of God. We read, for instance, that it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillars descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. The cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. You know, when they were there at that time in the wilderness where the cloudy pillar was, so they stayed. When the cloudy pillar removed, so they removed. And is not this a speaking voice, dear friends, to the people of God in their path, perhaps? We have not always indeed obeyed that word, perhaps have been ignorant of it, and have moved, whatever it may be. It may be improvidence, or whatever it is, and the cloudy pillar has not moved. And the Lord has not been displeased. He's not gone with his people. Oh, there's so much in what we read here that is relative to all time and to today. You need to see the cloudy pillar removed before you make any move. Oh, how the Lord was displeased with his people in so many things. And friends, you know, God's people have to learn these lessons. The Lord is not always pleased with his people because they do not obey his voice. We read then they had to go through the wilderness for 40 years because they were rebellious people and because they needed teaching. And is not this an evidence then that in the work of grace that God's people travel through what is known as a spiritual wilderness, whether it is 40 years or more or less, but it is a lifetime of teaching. But the point is, you see, he says in verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And after the wilderness experience of God's people, he will give grace and he will give glory. You know, we hear the word of grace, we sing of grace and hear it so many times. But my friends, you know, it's a very deep word, is grace. It's very easy to repeat a word such as what we have, the Lord Jesus speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. But my friends, there's so much in that. It's a wonderful thing to be favored, to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of God humbles his people. You know, we read, do we not, in Deuteronomy 8, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee see what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And he did humble them. It was to see what was in their heart. Now, dear friends, oh, to have that good thing in their heart. We know that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, but to have that good thing in the heart. That grace that the Lord Jesus gives. And he said, oh, how important it is what the Lord says. And there's something very wonderful to God's people. They hear his voice. It's often the still, small voice. It's a very remarkable thing when the Lord speaks. It's a still, small voice that the soul hears. And if the Lord has given that hearing ear, then we should believe that the Lord has spoken. We need the Lord to speak the promises. We need the Lord to speak this word here. Perhaps some of you especially need this word here. And for the Lord to speak, he says, I will. I will. And that's his will. His divine will. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. How can we speak of the goodness of God? All his goodness. His goodness to poor sinners. His goodness in providence and in grace. But I do reiterate that point, dear friends, that there is a need to see the cloud moving. Of course, it relates to our attendance to the means of grace, doesn't it? We need to see the cloud moving. You know, sometimes people do very things hastily. They do it without any thought. But the Lord would not have his people like that. We need to consider, to ponder, and especially, dear friends, to pray about it. Well, you may say, well, I prayed now for a long time about this or about that. I don't get any answer. My friends, you know, we need to pray according to his will. For if we pray according to his will, he heareth us. Our late dear pastor, I knew he said on one occasion, probably more, that the Lord would never do that which is contrary to his will. If the Lord will, we shall do this or that. Hence, you see, the Lord teaches his people to be careful, to consider. Of course, this relates perhaps very much to younger people, to teenagers. Perhaps they want to get away and do this and do that. But you see, there's this path of teaching. Of course, now in this particular setting, solemn things have happened. Moses had come down from the mount, he had seen the glory of God as far as any man could see. Hence he says here, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. It has such an effect upon him. If, dear friends, we hope in some little way the Lord has shown to us in some little measure his glory, then we should want to do all things for his glory. Now, as you know here, the people waited for Moses to come down. They got impatient. Where's this Moses? So they turned to their idols. Now, the Lord will not have any idols. From all your idols will I cleanse you. Oh, my friends, have we got these idols? These idols in our heart? From all these idols will I cleanse you, he says. I will give you a soft heart, a heart of flesh. Take away that stony heart. Oh, how we need the stony heart to be taken away. This obstinacy, this rebellion that these people were guilty of. Now, what grace is needed? He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. So the Lord does go before his people. He is also their reward. He goes behind them. But the Lord goes before his people. And sometimes he may make a way where there seems no way. Indeed, when the Lord has a purpose of grace, or it may be in providence, he's going to make a way for you that things will get difficult, things will get harder and harder. You take the case of they were in bondage in Egypt, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He would not let them go. The Lord hardened his heart. We need the Lord to give us a soft heart that Job had. I think the Lord gave him a soft heart. But Moses' heart was hardened. He would not let them go. It seemed impossible that they would ever come out of Egypt until finally they did come out. But still, they needed the Lord to go before them. And his goodness went with them. He made a way, as you know, through the Red Sea, that impossible situation that they were in. The armies of Egypt were behind Pharaoh's, Pharaoh's armies were behind him. The Red Sea was before them. So they came into an impossible situation. Mr. Frank Gosden said on one occasion, at least, he said, the Lord brings his people into ridiculous situations. That was the way he put it. And it seems impossible. The things which are impossible with man are possible with God, but all things are possible with God. But this is where faith is tried. And so they had to go through the wilderness for 40 years. Their faith was tried. But their needs were supplied. They had, as you know, the manna, which signifies, in a gospel sense, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of heaven. He spoke of it in John chapter 6, I think it is. He said, I am the bread of life, the staff of life. That means Christ is the life of his people. For in him they live and move and have their being. This is the way his people will be. Christ is their life. He's their bread. And of course the water flowed out of the rock. They were desperate for water. Well, you know, even naturally speaking, we've been recently quite desperate for water. Now the Lord in his goodness and mercy to mankind generally has sent the showers. But the people of God need spiritual water. They need to drink of that spiritual water. So Christ is the food and drink, the meat and drink to his people. And he says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. His goodness will make a way. The very word goodness signifies mercy, doesn't it? Or grace. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Now this is very needful. It is for the hearers of the gospel. It is for the preachers of the gospel, for the Lord to proclaim the name of the Lord. Because the name of the Lord, or the name of God, the name of the Lord means nothing to the ungodly. They may scoff of it, but it means so much to the Lord's people. And I will proclaim it. It speaks of the gospel, doesn't it? The proclamation of the gospel. Of the good news of the gospel. People say to me, may have said to you, sometimes there's no good news anywhere. It's all bad news. And sadly, so it is. But you know, to the Lord's people, there are the good news of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel. We have it, do we not, I think, in Isaiah's prophecy, particularly. The feet, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings of peace. And this is the gospel. This is the bread of life sent down from heaven. They had the Sabbath day. They had to rest on the Sabbath day, which was then the seventh day. But it was rest from their labors, and it was also a spiritual rest. Now, also that, dear friends, is the Lord's goodness. The spiritual rest, the day of rest, the place of rest, the house of God, the gospel is all the Lord's goodness. But I thought in prayers we tried to pray for the younger people, and there are some here, that what is so needed is the Lord to go before the Church of God to proclaim his goodness in raising up a seed to serve him, a generation to call him the Redeemer blessed. Now may this word be fulfilled in carrying on the good work of grace, the work of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, not only in this house of God, but in other places, that the Lord's will is to proclaim his goodness and his goodness to pass before them in the way, though it may be very hard, although faith will be tried, as older ones are taken home, as the hymn says, old sheep to Jesus go, may lambs recruit the fold below. Oh, how there may be in your soul, in your past, particularly that you find you're blocked up, there's no way out. It's like being almost in a prison cell. Of course, that's spiritually, isn't it? Being in a prison cell. But you know, dear friends, if you're in a prison cell spiritually, the Lord can deliver you out of it. He can release you or deliver you out of that cell. I know we have a hymn on it. I can't find it at the moment, but it is so. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. How can we speak of the goodness of God? His love, his mercy, his peace. Everything are found in God. And all that is given to poor sinners. Now he said, I will make all my goodness. First of all then, He says it, and it is according to his will. And it is him to do it. You know, here in this book of Exodus, we have that where the angel would go before them and bring them into the place which he had prepared for them. That was especially to me a very important word some years ago when I came here one Tuesday evening, and our late pastor was not here to take the prayer meeting, which was very unusual, and I thought, well, no, we shan't get anything here. Of course, that was wrong, wasn't it? But one of the brethren read from the 23rd chapter of Exodus, and he read from verse 20, and I will not read the whole part, but he said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." He said, "Mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." You read all these different people that we have here, and it doesn't mean anything. It meant a lot to them. They had enemies. But this was a wonderful word to me. In verse 25, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." How important that is, isn't it? How important that is, to bless thy bread and thy water, and to have the Lord's blessing, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Well, what a challenge that is to faith, isn't it? What a challenge. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Dear friends, you know, certainly he says, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before me." And that is why the gospel is so important to the Lord's people. When there's services, it's so important to the Lord's people, because it can and will be the bread of life sent down from heaven to teach, to instruct, to reprove, and so on. All his goodness, all that a good and gracious God is and possesses, which we cannot begin to speak about. His love, his mercy, his peace, his grace, all to go before thee, making a way. What about when we come down to the River Jordan? All his goodness to pass before thee in the way. You know, when the priest went over the River Jordan, and the River Jordan was full to the bank, yet they went over dry shod. This is the Lord's goodness. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. Not out of the way, in the way. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And that is really God's electing love. It's to whom I will be gracious, to whom I will show mercy. And you may say, why me? My blessed God, why me? Who forever should lie in hell were not thy salvation free. It's his goodness. It's his grace. It's his love. It's his peace. And beloved friends, it's all laid up in the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And all these treasures are laid up in Christ. Paul writes, doesn't he, to the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need. Now, Paul was not speaking from an armchair religion, but he was probably in prison. But you see, he spoke those words. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Think of the needs of a people here. And you alone, or those near you, know certain needs, but they don't know your inner needs, but God does. And what he's saying here, he will supply that need from that fullness. As I said, they went through the wilderness for 40 years. It was to humble them. It was to prove them. And when there was no water, they blamed Moses. Oh, how easy it is to blame others. Blame the minister. Blame the pastor. Blame anybody else but ourselves. But the water gushed out, didn't it? Oh, friends, you know, God's people are a needy sinner, needy people. Indeed, the word says they are a poor, needy people. Is that how you feel? And that's not the nature of man. The nature of man is to be full of self, pride, everything. But God's people are a poor and needy people. We read in Zephaniah. I always remember, I think it was the late Mr. Pilgrim, preached once on Thursday evening from that word, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. Yes, and afflicted and poor people. But that they shall rely or depend upon the word of the Lord. And so the Lord lives. You see, you take it in our nation today. We're very much a godless nation. But the Lord has a people. And thankfully, there are many people, not just in our own denomination, friends, you know, but there's some godly people. And the Lord has a people. He's left them as a witness. And really, nations are preserved from God's wrath because of this people, not because they're good, but because of his goodness. And so his goodness will pass before them then in the way. I was trying to find that word that I quoted just now. They should depend or rest upon the name of the Lord. And so it is so just the same now. It's just the same. The scriptures are just the same as they were because God is the same. And oh, how wonderful to think that this precious word here that we have is still the same to poor and needy sinners. And he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, how many times, my friend, have you had to go to the Lord for mercy and had to plead that word of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner? Oh, God is merciful. And there's one thing that we can also say, and we have it also in the scriptures, that he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. Oh, how good the Lord is to poor sinners. And that goodness flows through the Lord Jesus Christ. When Israel were walking through the wilderness and so on, the Lord communicated with them through Moses, and as I said earlier on, I think it is fair to say that Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was their leader. We know later on Joshua was the captain. Now the Lord is the leader of his people. He is the captain of their salvation. Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst condition known. He will hold thee up when falling and will lift thee up when down. Oh, he is the captain of our salvation, as we have in the Hebrews. Let me just turn to that word, dear friends, in the Hebrews, made perfect through sufferings. And this is where Christ is so precious and needful to his people. This is a very great part of the Lord's goodness to his people. He gives them an hunger and thirst after righteousness. He puts life into their soul. They have a spiritual need. He supplies that need from his fullness. He gives them what they are brought to feel their need of when they have to come to this. Give me Christ or else I die. Now his goodness will come. Give me Christ or else I die, for without him we perish much. He gives his people. But just that word in the second chapter of the Hebrews, Paul says, but now we see not yet all things but unto him. But we see Jesus. That's a beautiful word, isn't it? And that's the Lord's goodness to a sinner, to give them that eyesight, that spiritual eyesight, that they see Jesus by precious faith. And you want other people to see Jesus as well. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Oh, friends, this is the Lord's goodness. Above all things that even we've tried to speak of this morning, the paramount thing is this, that we see Jesus by faith. So has Jesus been revealed to you? No, shall I see till Jesus is revealed to me? Now keep seeking. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. This is the Lord's goodness, to reveal to poor sinners a precious Jesus. For it became him by whom are all things. By whom are all things. In bringing many sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now that's the Lord's goodness, to bring sinners in to the church. But just this, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified. I close with this word, dear friends, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. This is sanctified goodness. We need to remember that. Sanctified goodness. When the Lord has showed his goodness and his mercy in the way to have it truly sanctified, this is his goodness. Well, we've only touched a few things really. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now Moses has said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This will come afterwards. For the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, may the Lord bless these few words. May we know the little of the fullness of this precious word. Amen.